You have the floor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a U.S. and RMI citizen, I can tell you that Americans do not learn this legacy. We don't know this. It's not taught in our schools. It's not something we're made aware of. It's a U.S. legacy as well as an RMI and a global legacy. Although the U.S. is no longer the U.N. administrating authority of the RMI, colonialism endures in U.S. responses to the nuclear legacy. Structural racism is evident in the failure to provide adequate health and environmental monitoring to the same standards as U.S. citizens. The Marshallese people are asking for equity to receive the same standards that U.S. citizens receive. For example, the nuclear waste storage facility on Eniwetok does not currently meet standards to contain U.S. household garbage, let alone plutonium. During the UN trusteeship, the Marshall Islands was the proving ground to design, test, observe, innovate, and perfect weapons of genocide. The islands and the people became a living laboratory to extract and interpret data from the bodies of people and the islands. Community anger and distrust are rooted in decades of dehumanizing treatment in the hands of US researchers who reduce people to mere test subject numbers. Test subjects received placebos when they had burns down through their skin and their bones could be revealed. They did not receive pain medication. All of this so that researchers could observe the unaltered medical impacts of the weapons designs. As bodily data sources to the US government, human populations were purposely exposed to radiation, as the US did with its own populations in the United States. Community members were routinely sent to US military hospitals in Guam and throughout the United States for organ removal and other procedures without consent, translation, or understanding. Sometimes children were sent without an adult family member with them. Today, the truth about the nuclear legacy and its impacts are far from being known. Let me emphasize the far. There were 4 known fires that destroyed all of the medical records related to the human experimentation. 2 of those fires occurred at hospital facilities in the Marshall Islands. 1 of them occurred at Ohio in the United States. Another one occurred inside the vault of the trusteeship in Saipan. Fallout information for an entire test series has yet to be turned over to the Marshall Islands to document where fallout from the testing occurred. We talked extensively about Castle Bravo series today, but have not talked about another series where that information has not been turned over. The U.S. Department of Defense, and particularly the U.S. Navy that had initial jurisdiction for the testing, has yet to declassify or turn over any documents to the RMI government, despite repeated requests for that information. Here from the National Nuclear Commission, there is an established nuclear strategy that has been vetted with stakeholders and communities throughout the RMI. There is a strong strategy, but the RMI needs technical assistance and capacity building. For example, the training of Marshallese who can lead community-based work so that it doesn't come from the outside, but it comes from fabulous Marshallese leaders. And an established scientific advisory board of independent scientists who do not have ties to the US or to the nuclear industry, who can help to answer the questions about radiation exposure that come from impacted communities, and that can involve the Marshallese in every phase of research, developing the questions, collecting data, analyzing, and representing that information. Despite the millions of dollars spent by the US on the nuclear legacy, it did not go to the Marshallese people. The vast amount of that money supported US weapons laboratories, the contractors in California and in New York, who used that funding to develop their scientific knowledge about the impacts of nuclear weapons. Looking towards the future, I call on the United States, again as an American citizen, to embark on a process of self-reflection to understand why and how it maintains colonialist and racist responses to the RMI nuclear legacy, and to acknowledge the wrongs with transparency and honesty as an essential first step to restore trust and provide adequate and humane support to the people of the RMI. I want to thank again the Council for producing this report. The RMI people, since the beginning, and those first petitions that happened during the testing time, Marshallese leaders are strong and have been actively protesting the testing from the beginning. Having the backing of the international community makes these efforts to pursue justice a lot less lonely. It's important to have the international community's backing because the Marshallese people have made no progress, meaningful progress, in their bilateral work with the United States. Assistance that came under bilateral agreements is not full and final settlement. Within those agreements, it is allowed to have ex gratia of payments that are made on a regular basis. There is also the changed circumstances provision, which provides if there is new information that was not known and was not understood about the damages and injuries that are emerging from U.S. activities in the Marshall Islands, then the Marshall Islands maintains that right to ask for additional assistance. Until information is declassified and turned over to the Marshallese people, they cannot know the full breadth of what has changed because that information has not been forthcoming. The work of this council is essential in that work. We're grateful and appreciative. Thank you very much.